This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Good morning. Let me thank God for our worship team one more time. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Let me welcome all of you that are joining us on live stream. We appreciate you, whether you're watching locally or nationally or internationally. We welcome you to Zion Hill Church family. God is doing some awesome things around here. You are part of 15,000 other people that are live streaming right now. And we thank you for joining us this morning. Also, I'm grateful to those of you who are in the building. And we're especially grateful to our guests from Louisiana College. We love you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Coach Mason is our athletic director and very fine man. He's truly a brother to your pastor. My office is right across from his, and you can imagine every day just about we get to chat and talk about the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, but for him, I would have skip town on them, but this brother has been truly a brother. We welcome you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, will you please turn with me to the book of James? chapter 5, verse number 17 and 18. Thank you for all the praise report. We appreciate you, and we are praying and we are rejoicing with you. As the Lord blesses you, I am blessed in the process. James chapter 5, verses 17 and verse 18. When you find it, please say amen. The word of God says, Elias, translation Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, the Bible says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Please remain standing as we pray. Our Father and our God, we have come this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for the opportunity to be alive. Thank you for all the healings. Thank you for watching over us during the night. Thank you for being a faithful God. Today we ask you again to feed us with your word. Glorify yourself in this house. Use me as a channel of blessing to somebody. And after all this is over, we will give you all the glory, we will give you all the praise, and we will give you all the honor. Now I'm stepping back that you may step up. This is your church. This is your show. Have your way in this place. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, How to Get in Touch with God. How to contact God. You might be wondering, why do I need to contact God? Well, this year has been a year of trial for many people. It's been a year of fear for many. And of course, we are all aware of the COVID-19 situation. It looks like the devil is having a field day. You see homes being messed up. You see employment being messed up. Economy busted. Even churches losing grip of their membership. Even government. I mean, there's a lot going on. It's been a time of trouble, a time of chastening, a time of crisis, and maybe a time of judgment. In times like these, you cannot just sit back and watch the devil have field day. You have to learn how to contact your God. In times like this, you cannot sit back, I do. You have to learn how to get in touch with God for yourself, for your family, for your children. You have to learn how to protect your own job. Don't wait on the employer to do that for you. You have to learn to contact God for a time of refreshing, a time of restoration, a time of prosperity, a time of opportunity. I'll be honest with you, despite all what is going on, some people are getting blessed. Some people are prospering. That is why the one solution to deal with what is going on, you have to learn how to get in touch with God. You might say, okay, Pastor, I get it. So how do I get in touch with God? How do I contact him? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm sure all of us have electricity in our homes. And you know very well that electricity is a source of power. We plug in all of our appliances. We're able to turn on the air condition. We're able to turn on the heat. The refrigerator is cooking, the freezer. All those good stuff. It's hard nowadays to survive without electricity in your house. But notice how electricity works. It's not enough just to have the power source in your home. There has to be something called a point of contact. That power will not work unless you know how to flip on the switch. If you don't flip on the switch, the electricity in your house will do you no good. The source of power is the electricity. But the switch is your point of contact. I submit to you, my brother, my sister, that there must be a point of contact between you and God. If you want to experience the power of God, I say this with utmost humility. My wife and I, we were taking an inventory of the year. And on one hand, I'm very happy. But on another hand, it saddens my heart. I'm happy because we probably experienced the greatest increase in our family this year. But I'm sad because I see so many people struggling. And that is what provoked me to have to talk with you this morning on how to get in touch with God. If you are leading and there's nobody following, you're just taking a walk. So please, I encourage my brothers, my sisters, pay attention. There's always opportunity in chaos. But you have to learn how to tap into the power that is available for you. God has provided resources and power and provision for his children. But you cannot connect with that resource. You cannot connect with all that blessing unless you know how to contact God. In the case of electricity, as I'm talking to you, if you don't flip the switch, you will not enjoy the power. So it's not really a power problem. It's a contact problem. So the power is always there, but you have to learn how to contact, how to connect with that power. Many people in the church world today believe that God is powerful. I've not run into too many people that say God has no power. So that's not the issue. But the problem is that although we believe God has power, many of us are not experiencing the power of God. What's the problem? We don't know how to contact God. We don't know how to connect with God. That is why I don't come here today just to shout and feel good. I want to share with us, teach you and me some fundamentals to be able to reach God, even in time of crisis. To be able to position yourself and your family to be looking good even in the midst of famine. What is my message to you? Your point of contact between your need and God's provision is prayer. What did I call it? I believe I'll try that again. The point of contact between your need, you have need, I have need, and God has made provision. But what will connect the two? My need to God's provision, your need to God's provision is prayer. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is the mechanism that God established to make contact with his power. But you have to know how to pray. It also means if you don't pray, you don't have contact. And if you have no contact, you don't have power. And if you don't have power, the enemy can hit you any day, anytime. Brother Pastor, why is prayer the connector? I'm glad you asked. It goes way back to the time of beginning. In the book of Genesis, you will recall when God made heaven and earth, he gave the earth to man. He put him in charge. He said, have dominion over this. One scripture put it this way, heaven is his throne. The earth has he given to the Son of Man. Ladies and gentlemen, so when God gave dominion of this planet to us, he basically took a step back. And then he said, if you need any help, here's how to contact me. Have you ever done that with people? You meet people, you talk with them, and then you say, if you need any help, here's my card. Here's how you reach me. Well, God did the same thing to you and I. He said, look, this is your planet. You're in charge, but just in case you need help, you can contact me through prayer. So prayer becomes very, very important. What is prayer? It is what you need to use to release God's provision. In the spirit world, God has already blessed you with all good things in heavenly places. But then you need prayer to get everything that God has done for you to get a release into your world. Please take note, prayer does not make God do anything. What prayer does is to release on earth what God has already done. And I don't know about you, I need everything that God has made for me to be available to me. I believe when we get to heaven, God will show us a storage and show us all the things that he had made for us, but we never take advantage of because we don't know how to access God. Ladies and gentlemen, to let you know how much God has done these things, the book of Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says, before you call, he already answered. Ain't that something? Before you call, he already answered. That means the answer to every question in your life, in my life, is already there. So God is just waiting for your call. The provision for your healing is already there. In fact, to be brutally honest with you, you are already healed. He died for your salvation. For everything you need, Salvation is not just for you going to heaven. Wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. But how do you access it? You have to learn how to pray. God is waiting for you and I to call him. He's waiting for your call. Every now and then I will show up in my office and my secretary will say, these people are waiting for your calls. But what if I don't call them? I'll never find out what they have. It's like somebody making a bank deposit for you. Thousands, millions of dollars. But what if you don't go up there and withdraw? The money will be stuck there in the bank. So God said, before you call, I'll answer. It means the money is sitting there. The miracle is already there. The healing you're believing God for is already there. Heaven is waiting for you to reach out, to make the call. What is prayer? Prayer is simply what you use to activate, to dispense what God has already done for you. So it's almost insanity for somebody not to learn how to pray. Are you listening to me? It's not something you do out of convenience. Prayer doesn't make things happen. It grabs things that God has already made available for you. Am I making sense to somebody this morning? Anybody have cable TV in your house? You can relate to this simple principle. We all got cable TV, or most of us. But with that cable TV in your house comes something called a receiver box. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, the broadcast of all various programs is cooking every day. But you cannot see the picture if you don't have a box. The receiver box is what grabs what you cannot see and put it on the screen so you can see it. The receiver box did not create the programs. The program is already there. Heaven, ladies and gentlemen, is broadcasting 24/7. But the question is, do you have the receiver box to be able to see heaven's broadcast? Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is the mechanism that grabs what is going on in the invisible world so you can see it in your visible world. Let me show you how it works. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 13 and 17, God told Moses, be careful. If Israel gets into idolatry, he said, I will shut down heavens. There'll be no rain. But if Israel get enough sense to come back to God, God said, I will open up the heavens again, and there'll be rain. So it's really up to Israel. It's not up to God. He's told you the rule. He's told you his policy. So I'm not surprised in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, how the Bible says Elijah prayed that there be no rain, and there was no rain. And then you go to chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says Elijah prayed again that there be rain. And guess what? It started to rain. So if you really look at it, Elijah's prayer was based on what God has already said. Hundreds of years back in the book of Deuteronomy, God already told them, if you get into idolatry, I'm going to shut down heaven. There'll be no rain. He warned them. But he said, if you have enough sense to get back with God, I will open up the heavens again. So years later, hundreds of years later, when you see Elijah praying, he is basically saying what God already said. In short, I'm submitting to you, Elijah's prayer was tied to God's word. Many times the reason why you don't receive is because your prayers are not tied to what God already said. You don't have to invent nothing. It's already done. Thank God for my choir. They always sing that to me. It's a reminder to me that your healing is already done. Your miracle is already done. Everything you need, God already made provision. But how do I tap into it? It's through prayer. And the best prayer you can pray, ladies and gentlemen, is the prayer that simply tap into what God has already said. Tell somebody I got it. So if you don't know God's word, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how to pray. God's word should be the basis of every prayer. Sometimes I'm tickled when I listen to people pray. All those rhyming schemes, that's cultural. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody got culture. The Chinese got culture. The blacks, the white got culture. The whites have a way of dancing. The blacks have a way of dancing. I have some friends that lives in a community called Labuz. I enjoy watching their dancing style. So when you are praying and you get in, well, that may be pleasing to you. That may be your culture. But that don't get nothing done. At some point, you better tap into what thus says the Lord. The reason why our prayers are ineffective, the reason why our prayer is so vague, is because it's not tied to what God said. In the passage I read to you this morning, the Bible says Elijah prayed the first time that there should be no rain, and the second time he prayed again that there should be rain, and it rained. Look at the scenario. The first time when he prayed that there should be no rain, you know why? Because of what God already said. Israel was worshiping Baal, idolatry. So Elijah is simply saying, I remember God said this, so there's not going to be rain. And guess what happened? It didn't rain. As long as there was idolatry, it did not rain. The second time, when he prayed that there should be rain and it started to rain, you know why? Because he already dealt with the problem. There were 400 plus prophets of Baal. He killed all those prophets of idols. He had dealt with the problem. And because the problem is now dealt with, so he's able to pray the second time, now let it rain. And guess what happened? It rained. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I problem today is that we want God to send rain, but we don't want God to change our lives. We don't know how to contact God. We want God to bless us, but we refuse to address the underlying problem. I watch churches all over America. Oh, God, help us with COVID-19. Where God has already made provision. But when is America going to address the problem that caused this problem to start with? This is a message not just for America. It's for the entire world. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and do what else? Pray. And do what else? Seek my face. And do what else? Turn from your wicked ways. Then, not before then I will hear you. Then I will forgive you. Then I will heal the land. I'm talking about how to contact God. So it's up to you and me. But until we address the problem, until we deal with the injustice and mistreatment of other people, it's not going to rain. Ladies and gentlemen, many of us come to church. We want to be blessed, all right. And I commend you for coming to church. But why we want God to bless us, but we don't want God to change us? Hallelujah. But you and I need to get a clue, ladies and gentlemen. God will not rain on you or me so you can go share the blessing with an idol. God is not foolish. So God is waiting patiently. He wants to see if you will have enough sense to deal with the problems, the underlying issue that is causing all this breakdown. Look at how Elijah dealt with the problem. First of all, he dealt with the sin. He invited all those prophets of Baal, all those idol worshippers. He said, let's settle this today. If your God be the real God, then let it be. If my God be the real God, we're going to settle it today. And when it's all over, he killed every one of them. He dealt with the same problem. Many of us, that's the hold up. Let me be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. It's like listening to a radio station. The further you drive away from the radio station, the less the signal. Am I right about it? You lose clarity. You begin to hear statics because you're driving away from the radio station. The same thing in the spirit. You cannot continue to distance yourself from God and expect to hear him when he talks to you. You cannot be living a very ungodly life. You cannot ignore the truth and be supporting lies and expect God to turn around and bless you for it. You know why Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain? I'll tell you why. Because he's close to God enough to hear his voice. Notice everybody else around him, they couldn't hear a thing. His own servant came and said, "Hey, sir, I'm sorry. I don't hear a thing. The sky is very clear out there. There's no rain out there. But if you're not close to the station, you will not hear the radio broadcast. You'll be like Ahab, the king. He didn't hear a thing. You'll be like the servant, associate pastor of Elijah. He didn't hear a thing. You'll be like many of these evangelical pastors all over the nation, saying all kinds of crazy things, speaking when God has not spoken. You cannot say, thus says the Lord, when you're not close to God. You will not hear good if you are at a distance from the radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that we want to hear from God, all right, but we want to keep a distance. Do you think I can say I love Elizabeth, but I keep a distance from her? You better get a clue. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to say to you? Everybody that are able to contact God through prayer, they are not speaking to him at a distance. They are close. Remember a sister girl by the name Hannah? I don't know about you. I'm not satisfied with just coming to church and clapping my hand and shaking my booty and looking cute. No, that's not enough. Do you have the power of God in demonstration in your life? You ought to walk into the room, and even every demon that don't like you have to be shaken up because you're anointed. Just because you're in the city ought to be at peace because you're anointed. Ladies and gentlemen, do you still have your hope? Do you still have your expectation? Do you still have your dreams? Do you still have your vision? Well, if you do, what I'm sharing with you today is how you're going to get those visions accomplished, those dreams materialized. You don't want to just watch other people. You want to get in the game. Not just Elijah. Look at Hannah. Hannah didn't have a child. Guess what she did? She hit the ground. She prayed her way through it. Folks saw her and they thought she was drunk. But how bad do you want it? When you want it bad enough, you don't care what anybody think about you. You don't care what anybody say about you. You don't care who is laughing at you. Let them laugh if they want to. Hannah said, "I'm sick and tired of being empty." She knew how to contact God. And guess what happened? She got what she wanted. How bad do you want your own healing? How bad do you want your miracle? How bad do you want your breakthrough? Are you going to put your life in the hand of the government? The government? Good luck with that. They're still trying to figure out how on earth to handle themselves. But there is a God. Bible say Hannah prayed and she got what she wanted. I'll tell you another thing you can do to contact God. After she got what she wanted, After God blessed her with a child, the Bible says Hannah began to praise the Lord. Part of the reason why you are running empty is because you have not learned to tell God, thank you. All you need to do is just reflect back over your life and see what could have happened and see what almost happened. But by the grace of God, you're still here. Do I have a witness in the house? Somebody ought to say, thank you. When God bless you, the least you can do is to say, thank you. Say, thank you for my car. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my job. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for healing my body. I could have been dead in my grave, but you made a way out of nowhere. Lord, I said, thank you. Every now and then, you don't even care who is looking, who is rolling their eyes. Nobody knows like you know what God has done for you. Every now and then you ought to come in this house and just start pressing the Lord and shouting, because people will look at you crazy just like they look at Hannah. But if you look back over your life and see what God has done for you, it will make you shout. Do I have a witness in the house? And some of you will say, Brother Pastor, okay, I get it. Hannah prayed. You're telling me the way I need to contact God, I got to pray. I get it. Hannah prayed. She got what she wanted. But, Pastor, you don't know my situation. I didn't have what I want this year. It's been a very tough year. My circumstance don't look good. I have nothing to praise God for. But the Bible says this way. It says, even if you're barren, sometimes you have to praise your way into fullness. You don't wait until the battle is over. Right in the midst of that crisis, right in the midst of that difficulty, you can shout now. Most of my own breakthrough, I have to praise my way through. You don't go to job interview, wait until you get the job before you shout. On your way to the interview, you better learn how to shout. Right in your own house, you better learn how to praise God. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Learn to sing even when all hell is breaking loose. Learn to praise God even when your circumstances don't look at it. Learn to see abundance in the midst of dryness. Are you still here this morning? That's what Mary was asking when she was told, you're going to have a baby. She said, how can this be? And many of you, you've held your peace all throughout the year. You refuse to praise God. You refuse to pray. You say, how can I pray? How can I praise God when I lost my job? How can I praise God when my uncle is dead of COVID-19? How? Tell me, give me a reason why I should praise God. But you know the reason why you're still here. It's for you to learn to praise God before you get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm preaching to this evening. You have to learn to praise God before the blessing arrives. Do I have an amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying it's your first move. Sometimes you have to praise God to get it. Sometimes you have to pray to get it. You don't wait until you get it and you say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Let me say this in conclusion. You know one thing that I notice about all these people who know how to contact God? They get into labor. Elijah that you read about, the Bible didn't just say he just prayed and he got it. The Bible say one day he put his head between his knees and bent down and refused. You know what he's doing? He first he separated himself. He went on Mount Carmel to pray. He didn't stay with them folks. You look at Hannah. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You look at Paul and Silas. I mean, you can go throughout the whole Bible. Everybody that have serious breakthrough in their life, the first thing they do, they separate themselves. You know why you have to separate yourself? So that you can hear clearly without any distraction. Part of the reason why we can't receive is because there's too much distraction. After Elijah separated himself from the crowd, he opened his leg, put his head between his knees, and started to labor. By the way, you know why he did that? Because way back then, they don't have all the convenience in the hospital now. If a woman wants to give birth back then, you have to begin to push. You have to push your way. There ain't no epidural to help you. You got to push your way. And heaven is waiting for somebody. God has made provision for your health, provision for your life, for your family. You say, Pastor, I don't have a job. Pastor, I'm struggling right now. God has made provision for every one of us. But when are you going to get in labor position and push that miracle out of you? Inside of you, there's a wealth of knowledge. Inside of you, there's a wealth of blessing, a wealth of miracle. Part of the reason why many of you are not getting into labor is because you're not pregnant. But somebody here today, you are pregnant with a miracle. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Somebody here, you are pregnant with some great ideas. And no devil in hell can stop you. If God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Get in that birth position and push your miracle. And push and push and keep pushing. Even when people don't understand you, even when they call you crazy, even when they laugh at you, hang in there. Stay in touch with God. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. I want to invite somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get in contact with a God you don't know. If you're here today and you don't have him as your Lord and as your Savior, why not make that decision today? For thousands of you who are watching, live streaming, there's a number under the screen. Dial that number. There are ministers of the gospel waiting to pray with you, to welcome you into the kingdom of God. This is why we do what we do. And believe me, you will never regret the decision you make. Let me also encourage all of you to give for the work of the ministry today. On your way out, our ushers are waiting to bless you. And you bless God and God blesses you in turn. The Bible put it this way, if you give, it shall be given to you. Just this week, we were just opening the church office, and a gentleman walked in and wrote a check for $1,000. My secretary asked him, "Are you a member of the church?" He said, "No, I just like what the church is doing." $1,000. That's a non-member. I wish I can sit down with you to get two chicken wings with Diet Coke and just share with you miracles after miracles that we enjoy in this house. We want you to be a part of that. How does it come? You have to learn to give in order to receive. Some of you may be saying, "Pastor, I'm not in the church." You can be a part of that giving also. Go to our website, zionhill.com. There's opportunity for online giving. This past week alone, we had $17,000. Not from those of you in the house, people who are watching. Be a part of what God is doing. I believe with all my heart, this church is destined for great things. We'd like for you to be a part of that. And we pray that God will increase you more and more. That God will make your cup to run it over. The goodness and mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life. Will you please stand with me and help me welcome our worship team one more time? God bless you.
Somebody said it's time to give the Lord some praise. Anybody got a praise on their lips today? Put your hands together right here. Today.